the results came out and said that there was no statistical difference. So we're not talking, well, there's really no difference between the drinkers and the non-drinkers after 6 hours. So that's the carbo drinkers and the non-carb drinkers. There's no real major change between them. Yeah, there was some slight variations. In fact, we had a couple of participants who were, their reaction was actually faster than the non-drinkers after 6 hours. But one of the things we're wondering about, and again, because as I was saying earlier, this is new science. You know, this understanding is new for us. We're wondering if the tests that we used were not quite sensitive enough for the areas of the brain that carb affects, and you know, again, carb affects the brain differently to alcohol.
Well, that's what a lot of Pacific Islanders in New Zealand who are regular carb drinkers are taking that statement. There was no difference, and they're all going, "Aha, everything's fine." But you're suggesting that's not quite the case.
That's not quite the case, and I think that would be a very dangerous interpretation. We need to interpret this data cautiously, and, you know, I'm a carb user. I drink a lot of carb, and I know how I function. Now, I'm not saying that I get into my carb every time after I drink carb and I'm dangerous. I'm certainly not saying that, but I think that there is something going on. And, you know, we're needing to be considering the oncoming driver or, you know, our family members that we're carting around with us in the car. This is about road safety and safety of others. For me, you know, I want to get to the bottom of this. I'm interested in it, fascinated in it. And, we're hopefully we'll get refunded and we'll move on to the next level of testing.
Now, you're a former policeman. Have you noticed a difference between the way that people drive when they're drunk on alcohol and the way they drive on carver?
See, again, I don't. For me personally, when I drink carb and I drive, I think I'm okay. I've been in the car with others who appear okay. They don't seem to be weaving all over the road or anything like that. And so we think we're okay. But what we need to do is we need to find out: are we really okay? Because there are, you know, cannabis smokers out there who believe for many years that they were fine. So, and obviously alcohol, you know, users prior to that. So I think that we are okay, but when I looked at the participants in the room during that 6 hour period, and I noticed changes in especially, you know, a somnolent like state, like, so they appeared sleepy, or they were a little bit slurring with their words, only slightly, or as they went to pick something up off the floor, for instance, a lolly, or whether they're eating fruit, and there was just something in their movement which wasn't quite as sharp. It was, you know, yeah, there's something going on there, Bruce, and we just need to get to the bottom of that.
So you think you need a more sophisticated test?
I've sat down over a number of hours, and I've talked to some hot shots and on where we should be going as a result of these results. And we believe that we have identified the new tests. We're looking at moving to what they call somatosensory type tests. Now, we know that carb affects the central nervous system. So we're looking at some new tests that will really look at pressure as far as skin goes, you know, pressure, feeling and that sort of thing, to really try and get some understanding on how the central nervous system is working. The past test that we used, the previous test we used, were more visual focused. Now, yes, your visual functionality is linked to your central nervous system, but we're looking at going deeper. So we've got some really good tests from the States that we're considering, and I've had to sit down with some brain experts and that sort of thing and you know, to identify those sorts of things.
Do you think that carver drinkers who've been in, you know, a big long session, is it dangerous for them to get behind the wheel of a car, or do you think it's a bit marginal? You're not quite sure whether this, you know, they should be allowed behind the wheel or if it's actually perfectly safe.
You know what I would say, Bruce, so I think we need to be cautious. And again, you know, we're dealing with people's lives. And I would, if you said to me, where would I stack my money if I was a betting man, I think that we're probably a little bit more on, I'm not saying dangerous, but I think we're more on that side of it than we're on, oh, no, this is sweet. And I really was concerned when the results came out that people would interpret this as thinking it's fine to drive. The verdict's not in yet. I think we still need to be, you know, cautious about this, and I would really ask that, you know, carver drinkers think about what they're doing and how they feel before they get into motor vehicle, you know, before they get into the motor vehicle.
So people who drink carver might not be 100%, might be 95%, but that 5% might be the thing that makes the difference in the long run.
You're absolutely right. And you know, the other thing is that as Pacificans, we always talk about our values and our respect of others, you know. So if we really are Pacificans, and if we really do respect others as we say that we do, then we need to consider that, and that's the respect of the person who's oncoming, you know, in the other motor vehicle or the person who's sitting next to you if you're driving.